so often when we become parents, we know that our children are our biggest growth opportunities. They will trigger us left, right, and center. They will bring up our own wounding of when we're kids, the stuff that we swore we'd never do because our parents did it to us. Then we suddenly start doing it and we're like, where did that word come out of my, like, how did that come out of my mouth? I sound like my mother or my father.
Welcome to the Sisterhood Club podcast, where we talk all things business, Web3, and NFTs. We're on a mission to educate, elevate, and empower women into the world of Web3. So join us on this journey as we learn together from leading experts. And remember, this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. So please do your own research and enjoy today's episode.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sisterhood Club podcast with myself, Georgie Hubbard, and
me, Pam Caldwell.
So yeah, Pam is back with us today. She's taken a little bit of a break, obviously to look after her brand new baby, Sky. And the best part of this is we're about to talk to Erica, who is one of our incredible educators on the Sisterhood platform, who has a course on conscious parenting. So Pam had to be here today. She's got her notepad at the ready because I'm sure she's got quite a few questions for Erica. But Pam, amazing to have you back today. You're literally, you're breastfeeding right this second, doing a podcast. There's a visual for everyone. I mean, you're absolute superwoman. So how are you feeling about doing this podcast today?
Yeah, great. No, I'm super excited to be back in the podcast studio. And yeah, I couldn't miss this one with you today, Erica. I actually do. I'm like, we usually try to keep them to 30 to 40 minutes, but have you got about an hour and a half, 2 hours to chat? I've got lots of questions. But no, I'm really excited to be here and how beautiful that I can bring my brand new daughter along on the journey with us.
Absolutely. Well, I'm just going to do a really quick introduction so everyone knows who we're chatting with today, because I'm very excited about this one. So today, as I said, we've got one of our incredible educators, Erica Elmutz, today. Erica is passionate about awakening souls to the magic of who they are, what they're here to do, and how to live the life they were designed to live. Erica's awakening began when she personally experienced her own healing of an incurable disease, which ignited a passion for sharing with others the incredible possibilities of the human body and its ability to heal itself. Erica, I am so excited today that this conversation could go in so many different directions because you're such an incredible woman. But let's just kick off with a little bit of an overview about who you are and what's brought you here today to have this conversation with Pam and I. Over to you.
Well, I just want to thank both of you for having me today. I've been really looking forward to this conversation, and even more special that Sky gets to join us because I swear she's bringing such a gorgeous, brand new, light-filled energy to this space. Like, as soon as you introduced her, I got the biggest chills. So I just feel I feel so honored that she's able to be here for this. And I think she's going to lend a beautiful energy to this conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah, talk to us a little bit about, you know, who you are. Obviously, when we first spoke, we kicked off because obviously you had a course on conscious parenting. And I think that, you know, we in our community, there's a lot of mums, a lot of new mums, a lot of mums with teenage daughters, teenage sons. So what sort of got you interested in that space first and foremost?
Well, anytime I get asked the question, first off, of can you explain what you are or who you are or what you do? And I go, I don't even know where to begin. So I think just like many of us on our journeys of evolving into who we're supposed to be, my journey has been in multiple facets. So I've been, I started off in the business world and then I went back to school and became a naturopath. And I started a practice where I was helping people with physical ailments because, like you said in the intro, I personally was healed of an incurable disease. And to me, that ignited a real passion about the possibility of, you know, not only the power of our physical bodies, but the power of the spirit and the soul. And at the time, I had a brand new daughter. She was a year old when I went back to school and I started my practice. So naturally, I was very passionate about the parenting conversation. And I was personally, you know, raising her in a way that was simply just, you know, however my heart was calling me to. But what I found very strongly in my client sessions was so often, and we know any sort of physical disease begins with an emotional or spiritual discord. And if we never address it, the signal of our bodies amplifies more and more until we end up eventually developing physical symptoms. So while I had my practice where I was helping people with their physical ailments, very quickly I discovered and understood how the importance of the emotional journey. And I thought to myself, like, wow, if I can help people parent their children in a way where I don't have to unwind all this stuff later when they come to me in their 30s and 40s and 50s, then we're going to have a leg up here. Because that's how my personal health ailment, my personal diagnosis shifted, was it started with an emotional imprint on my physical body. So to me, that ignited a passion where I was kind of combining both. And I was just naturally raising my daughter. She's now, you know, about to be a senior in high school. She's a lot older now. But to me, my true passion was helping nurture these beautiful souls that come to us pure, clean, with a very specific purpose. And oftentimes as parents, you know, if we're gifted one of these incredible children that is here to do major, beautiful work on the planet, it's almost like they come to us souls that are ready to nurture them to be the best of who they're supposed to be, not who we want them to be, not who we think society wants them to be, but what are these souls here to do, accomplish, and how can I most nurture them? And that's why, you know, I named my parenting program Cultivating Conscious Children, because it's not about me shaping her. It's about me cultivating who she is naturally. So that's how I kind of got into this field. And now I've evolved into more stuff, but we're talking about parenting today. So that's how that pretty much began and evolved. And now I'm finding in my work, now that I've helped a lot of people with their own soul growth journey and come into sacred partnerships and unions, the parenting conversation is resurfacing now in a much more powerful way.
Mm. 100%.
That is just such a beautiful way that you've framed that out. And I think that is such an important concept, to allow your child to be who they want to be and not to try and shape them into something that you want them to be or want them to do, and just really embracing their little personalities. And, you know, for example, my eldest daughter, Emily, she's 6 years old, and she's not shy, but sometimes in group scenarios, she just clams up. And I'm almost like, get in there, like, you know, go have fun. And, you know, I started off trying to just like give her a little nudge into these group situations, and she would just completely break down. And I thought, what am I doing? You know, if she chooses to just sort of step back and watch and, you know, enter these group situations when she feels ready, that's really what I should be supporting. So it's just like such an interesting, it's just, parenting is just such a journey, and there's so much to unpack about what you just said. You have framed it out so beautifully. But for people that are listening, I think we just assume that everyone is aware of the concept of conscious parenting, but for some people it might be very new. So how would you describe conscious parenting? How would you summarize it? How would you, you know, frame it out to people that are fairly new to the phrase conscious parenting?
So I think the simplest way to really look at it is being very intentional and deliberate with being present. Because so often when we become parents, we know that our children are our biggest growth opportunities. They will trigger us left, right, and center. They will bring up our own wounding of when we're kids, the stuff that we swore we'd never do because our parents did it to us. Then we suddenly start doing it, and we're like, "Where did that word come out of my? Like, how did that come out of my mouth? I sound like my mother or my father." And it's so when we get into an emotional place, a triggered place where our unconscious patterns erupt and show up, is when we're stressed, we're tired, and we're, you know, we're in an intense moment as parents. That's when our shadows come out. And I spend a lot of my time helping people understand their unconscious shadows, and also not to judge them, first of all, because it all ultimately stems from our programming from birth to age 7. And that's a very critical time in the brain development of a child and the soul of a child. And when we can understand our own triggers, then we can be responsive and not reactive to our children. we can look at a child's temper tantrum and think to ourselves from a higher perspective. They're clearly stressed out right now. They're not feeling good. And this is their only way to know how to act out, as opposed to us looking at that going, they're disobeying me right now. One is coming from the heart and the other is coming from the ego. Mm-hmm. And so when we truly start to reframe how we understand our children, we can make a massive difference in the relationship with our children, because our children are ultimately up till age 7 living in the adult equivalent of the adult dream state in their brainwaves. So they are the equivalent, it's delta and theta brainwaves primarily. So the child doesn't have conscious thought until age 7. And so when a parent projects onto their child, well, if I was behaving this way, this is what I would be doing, or they're observing behavior saying, well, the child must be disobeying me or defying me if they're acting this way, that's when we get into trouble. And so conscious mm-hmm. parenting allows you to, first of all, understand the biology and the brain development, the neurodevelopment of your child, the soul development of your child, to where then you actually can become more of an ally with your child as opposed to a hierarchical relationship. If people mm-hmm. see themselves as a conscious parent, as a spiritual partner of their child, and to help nurture them and to grow together, because the parent often grows more than the child. But when we see ourselves as a spiritual partner with each other, it takes away a lot of the situations and scenarios where we can get into a power struggle, which then only creates a more adversarial, unsafe situation for the child. Mm-hmm. Unsafe meaning the way that their brain interprets what they are mm-hmm. experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely beautiful. And I think, if I sort of reflect on the times where I have been incredibly triggered by Emily, because Skye is just so brand new out of the womb that she's, I'm just been in this little baby love bubble. She's done nothing to trigger me. But yeah, if I think back to the times that I've been incredibly triggered by my eldest daughter, and I've potentially responded in a way that I am really not proud of, it leaves a gut-wrenching feeling the entire day, because I've not responded in a way that I'm proud of. And I know that I am meant to be the more, I'm the older one, I'm like conscious, I should be, you know, nurturing her and be more understanding of her feelings and her emotions. And it's a horrible feeling when you do respond in a way that you're not proud of. But often, if I reflect on the times that I've maybe responded in a very reactive way, it has been when I have been really rushing or stressed or exhausted, and my cup has not been particularly full. So I think a lot of the parents that we've potentially got on Sisterhood platform at the moment, you know, we're trying to do it all. You know, you're trying to make sure you're looking after yourself. You're trying to be healthy and fit. You're trying to be, you know, fashionable, dress well. You're trying to balance a career. You're trying to have your fridge full of nourishing foods, cook healthy dinners, you know, and be the best parent that you can possibly be. And I think that when you are trying to be all, that's potentially when things can really tip over. And that's when you do end up stressed and experiencing those feelings of burnout, and you don't turn up as the best parent that you know you can be. Could you sort of talk to how, as parents, we can go about identifying what are our triggers and finding ways to create better habits in terms of how we respond in times of stress or overwhelm, when we are potentially, our cup is starting to empty a little bit?
Absolutely. I do want to address that great question. And before I do, though, I do want to say address something that you just mentioned, because so often we are our worst critics as parents, and we think, I'm trying to do the best I can, and I can't believe I acted that way. I wish I hadn't reacted that way. And the number one thing about conscious parenting is understanding that it's the most important thing is for your child to understand that you are human. Mm-hmm. You are not this perfect parent. You're not always going to be on your best behavior, just like they are. And that there are times where that you are not going to be your best self. And I think the most important piece of a conscious parenting journey is not to judge self, and just to, number one, love self, because the biggest thing that we do is we are modeling to our children. So when we mm-hmm. start to act in ways we don't like, or then we get defensive, or then we get embarrassed, or we decide, however it is, when we, your children are always watching you more than hearing what you're saying, especially through age 7.
Right.
And so it's when you blow up and you act a way you don't wish you acted, the best thing you can do later is talk to your child about it. Be like, I'm so sorry. I was not my best self. I was tired and I just should, you know, I'm really sorry, sweetie. I hope I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, but I, you know, and just, even if she doesn't consciously get it at her age, at age 6, modeling that behavior of self-acceptance will then teach your child to accept themselves when they don't act perfectly, mm-hmm. when they're frustrated and they wish they hadn't acted a certain way. So number one is not to judge self and to allow yourself and give yourself permission to be human and to always have that as an underlying tenet of your relationship with your child. Do the best you can. Just like what you would expect your daughters, right? Hey, I'm trying to be the best person I can be, but I don't always do it.
Yeah.
And I love myself anyway, and I accept myself, and I love you even though you're not perfect, or even though you might misbehave sometimes, or you might act out sometimes. I do too. I'm a parent and I still do it.
Yeah. Beautiful.
So I just think that, because I see, so especially when you throw in the term conscious parenting, there's almost like this elevated feeling of like, well, if I'm not conscious, then am I a bad parent? Not at all. It's just about being aware, catching yourself in the moment, catching yourself after the moment. If you don't catch yourself in the moment, looking back and be like, oh, I really just wish I hadn't done that. Okay, great. Now do something with that. So in terms of like noticing when you're triggered, the number one thing that I would say, the best tool is, first of all, you know when you are being reactive, right? Like you were saying, when you're tired, you're stressed, you're in a hurry, and you don't have time to pick out the outfit 6 different times. Like, we just got to get out the door. So can you just pick your outfit right now? Like, why are you having to be confused about what you're going to wear today? I still have that with my 17-year-old, by the way. So that doesn't necessarily change. Where I'm sitting there like, we're just going to the grocery store. You're not going to see anybody you know. It's totally fine. No, Mom, you don't understand. Okay. So, but I think the best thing to always ask yourself, whether it's with your child or with your spouse or with a friend or a family member, is when you notice yourself acting in ways that you kind of go later, like, ugh, like you're sort of wincing, is to say, okay, what was that bringing up in me? What was the emotion I was feeling? So identifying the emotion. Is it like when if you're triggered, is it because I wasn't being listened to? Or is it because I was afraid of being judged because I was going to be late? Like, what is underneath your emotion that you were feeling at the time? And it's going to be different for everybody. And so then you go, okay, so I felt like I wasn't being respected. I said we needed to leave at this time. We're not leaving at this time. And so listening to your inner dialogue is the number one thing you can do to help identify what's triggering you, because every trigger is a chance to heal. Mm-hmm. Every trigger is a chance to grow. And when we look at it and go, gosh, you know what? What's underneath this really is more, I know for me, I used to always get triggered a lot, especially when I had an audience. If I had other people around me, I was suddenly trying to like alter my parenting because I didn't want to be judged by them. And then my daughter says, this is weird. This isn't my normal mom, the way she acts. And then she got uncomfortable and I was worried about what everyone was thinking about my parenting and how my daughter was behaving and all this stuff. So for me, my trigger was like, I used to get triggered a lot more when I had an audience and I felt the judgment of others or my perceived judgment of others.
That's, do you know what? Erica, you just took the words right out of my mouth there, because I actually find that when I'm behind closed doors, I actually deal with situations so much better and with so much ease when I'm just in the family home. But often I find that Emily can sometimes act in certain ways in group scenarios that she wouldn't usually act like when we're in company. And that's when I'm like, oh my gosh, like, how am I going to respond to this here? And you are so correct. You just summarized it beautifully. It's because often people just look on with sheer kindness and just think, been there, you know, been there, done that before, you know, and it's, there's no judgment coming, but it is the perceived judgment from it. So it's really interesting that you just brought that up there, because that's something that I genuinely feel. It's just like the way that I respond behind closed doors and the way that I respond in more like group or social settings is completely different. And it's like, why is that? And I've never really unpacked it before. So I'm so interested to see where you follow on from that.
Yeah. Well, what was I was going to say in addition to that is, it's again, conscious parenting is the more that we understand about children and their development. I mean, no one wants to become a child psychologist and learn all that stuff. But I find that the more that we can look at things from the perspective of what our child may be going through, and the less judgment we can have on their behavior. So, for example, you brought up the example earlier of, you want her to be more social in social environments, and she's sort of shy and quiet and doesn't really go out and integrate very much. In fact, I've done videos on this where it's like one of the biggest stressors is parents try to socialize their children too early. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it from your daughter's perspective, when she's in your home, that is her safe place. She knows the area. She knows where she is. She knows who she is. And children bond very much primarily to mother, to the mom, up until about two or three. Then they shift over to dad because they've figured out the mom-child dynamic. So they're not ready and emotionally capable of truly integrating with more people, because that's a scary situation for them. And some kids jump right in. It's just who they are. And others, though, if she's in a strange environment, it's understandable that she would be a little more uncomfortable and not know how to act. Therefore, when she acts differently in public, it's because she's in an uncertain environment. So the more that as parents we can be like, wow, she's not trying to act a certain way, or she's not whatever. She's literally uncomfortable. The behavior is a symptom of her feeling of discomfort, feeling unsafe, feeling unsure. And when children are acting out like that, it's typically when they most feel like they want to connect with the parent.
Yeah.
So like, right. And they just like give them a hug. I love you, sweetie. And then, you know, like make them feel safe. Mm-hmm. Even if they're screaming at the grocery store, it's like, make them feel loved. So the more that we can kind of see things through the child lens, understanding that their brain doesn't think the way that an adult thinks, then we can like push down our responsiveness or reactivity, our emotions, our stress level, because they'll react to our stress level. They're our barometer. And the more calm we are and the more centered we are when there's chaos everywhere else, they'll feel safer and therefore less need to act out.
Yeah. Beautiful. And I definitely think it is important to just take that pause and reflect. One thing that I do always try to do is when I do feel particularly triggered is actually maybe just like take a breath, take a pause and have a think before I speak. I think like genuinely it has been, you know, the times that I've just dove right in there, I've just not had the right response. So I think genuinely, just even sometimes if you need to just take a couple of minutes, walk in the pantry and take a few deep breaths. Okay, sweetie, I'm going to come back and have a chat with you in a few moments, and then come back and you'll potentially come back into the situation and respond in a way that you're going to be proud of and coach them. And that, and as you say, it's our responsibility as parents to create that safe space for our kids. And I think genuinely throughout, just in terms of just to touch upon the social thing with kids, coming from, you know, the world that we've all just lived in over the past 2 years, you know, we've all been in lockdowns, and potentially if you've been in a situation where your child is an only child, they've genuinely been surrounded by mum and dad or mum or, you know, the primary carer for 2 years, you know, and then to expect your child to just integrate themselves into social settings and, you know, know what to do, or, you know, it's been a tricky time for kids to navigate through as well.
So
that's obviously something to be really mindful of as well.
That's a good point. And you know, my heart has been breaking for the last 2.5 years, observing, you know, what has gone on in the world but the imprint it's having on these young children, in terms of their brain development, in terms of the way that they see the world. And, you know, if you think about it, kids communicate and sense their environment on energy. Mm-hmm. And so if they're put into an energy of fear, if they go out in public and people are staring at them and, you know, wearing something covering their face, they can't read facial cues. They can't. And so if you think about it, these children have grown up in an environment very fear-based.
Yeah.
And so there is hopefully the nurturing at home and everything has helped that. But there's a lot to unwind. I even see it in my daughter's generation, you know, and they're in their teens. Mm-hmm. So, but I do believe in my soul that the children that have come here at this time are here to play a very significant role. And they were meant to be here at this time during this crazy world in order to then change it, to make it better, to have their own experience. So the most, like, I always have to remind myself of that, but it's a good point that depending on the home environment, if the home environment was very fear-based, you go out into a group of kids and one child might be terrified because they think they're going to get sick or something. And
yeah,
so we have to also not judge other people for having their responses because their kids have literally been programmed.
Correct. And, Georgie, I'm just going to throw this over to you because you're not a parent, right? But you do play a very important role in my children's life. And that's such a beautiful relationship to watch evolve as well. And the one thing that I do love about having Georgie very much involved in my girls' lives is that she does come from a very spiritual place. And I love how you introduced like the soul and the spiritual side of parenting. So I'd like to throw it over to you, Georgie. And I don't know if it's something you've thought about yet, but I'm sure you've got a couple of questions around that. And
yeah, look, I've just been sat here the whole time smiling and just seeing little baby Sky just involved in this conversation. I just feel like you, Erica, I'm like, this was meant to happen exactly the way it's meant to be happening right now. And look, I think reflecting on my childhood, and I was doing a lot of that just hearing you both speak then, like, I had a great childhood, right? My mum and dad, you know, I do feel like they were present. Look, they weren't perfect, but who is, right? And I think that parents, they do put a lot of pressure on themselves. There's a lot of, you know, mum guilt that flies around. If mum wants to go and do some exercise, or mum wants to go and get a massage, or mum wants to do anything, it's like Pam said, like, you know, your cup can run empty pretty quick if you don't prioritize yourself. And I think that is quite I'm very aware of it in our society. You know, I think like it's, you paint the picture of like, you know, you've got to spend time with your children, you've got to be there for your children. So, you know, for those mums listening to this right now that, you know, perhaps on reflection, think, God, you know, I've, you know, 0 to 7, oh my goodness, you know, like maybe I wasn't the best mum I could be all the time. Have I impacted my child in a bad way? Like, you know, what would you say to them? Because, you know, I think like we weren't aware of this. Like I look at my mum and dad, like they were just doing the best that they could. And I think when you know that, the older you get, you realize that like, your parents are just people. They weren't perfect. No one is, right? So for those women and the men listening to this right now, that our parents that have older children that go, geez, I wish someone told me that from 0 to 7 I was literally programming my child. Like, what would you say to them, and what can they do to, you know, maybe, you know, heal any relationship with their child, or, you know, sort of make that relationship stronger, you know, if they are that bit older?
Well, it's so, I love that you're asking this because I get asked this a lot, because it's one of those things where when you know better, you do better, but you can't judge or blame yourself when you didn't know better.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing that we can, that also we need to understand is that when it comes on, like on a spiritual level, everything is perfect. Your child came in and chose you as parents to be the perfect catalyst for their own soul growth journey. Mm-hmm. And same with your child came in to teach you certain lessons about yourself and about love and about caring. And so, you know, when we start to get into the self-blame and the self-criticism, and I wish I, or did I screw my, I hear that all the time. Did I screw my kid up? No. The answer is no. And the other piece of that is that, again, it all comes down to understanding. If we know that our child was wired to be more fear-based than faith-based, then we understand the way that they're wired. It's like, listen, my child kind of goes through the world more pessimistic than optimistic, but guess what? That can shift. Mm-hmm. That can shift. You can start today to be a conscious parent. You don't have to have been a conscious parent from before they were born. Today, the journey is from now forward. Mm-hmm. And children that, you know, see a shift in their parent and notice a shift and the parent caring about them, the number one thing is to have a close relationship with your child. Let them know that you accept and love them and you're there as a partner. Mm-hmm. But again, getting out of self-blame, but there's so much that children can grow and learn from this point forward. I mean, I grew up, I didn't realize I was being programmed till age 7. And that's why, you know, that's why if I focus on helping people early on or with caregivers, then they'll already be a head start. Plus, they're already more spiritually advanced than we are, quite frankly.
Absolutely. I read a book that really helped me deal with a lot of, you know, just some trauma and things like from my childhood. I think everyone's got trauma, whether it's micro or macro trauma, but it was Louisa Hay, You Can Heal Your Life. And that was the first time in that book where I linked that feeling disease in the body is linked to disease in our body, right? So when we're feeling stressed, anxious, angry, frustrated, irritated, all of those low vibration emotions, that can actually make us sick, right? They manifest as physical symptoms in our body. And when I read that, it was really profound. Because at that time I was going through something, I found some abnormal cells, and it was quite a wake up call for me to be like, why are they there? Right. I don't believe that. I do believe that we manifest all disease. Right. So if someone's sort of listening to this right now, and you mentioned that you cured yourself from something that is incurable, which is absolutely incredible. And one of the best documentaries I've ever watched was Heal. And it was all about basically like natural healing and how, you know, like it was absolutely profound. So let's say, you know, you have identified that you've got some trauma, you've got it from your childhood, you've not really dealt with it, and things are starting to manifest in your body. What can people do? How can they, you know, heal themselves essentially? And what was your journey like that you went through? I'd love to hear more about that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I actually, if you want to go more in depth after this conversation, I actually have a podcast episode of mine where I go in more in depth about quantum healing, because the documentary Heal that you mentioned was the best people always used to be like, can you explain your healing process of how you help? Because I do those healing sessions with clients I have over the last 15 years. So that process of understanding what is at the root cause of it is the most important thing you can do. Now, I will say one of my biggest messages about healing is that one of the most disempowering things we can think is that the solution lies outside of ourselves. Mm. I have to go to a healer to heal me. I have to go to a doctor to fix me. I have to go to whatever. And the solution is somewhere outside of ourselves. But truly the solution does lie within us. And so you with the Heal Your Life book, anytime someone has a health issue coming up, I'm automatically looking up in that book. Okay, so what's the exact affirmation that comes along with this? Because it's, to me, it's the starting point. Mm-hmm. So I have the app on my phone.
Amazing. That's so funny. But, anytime any of us have got something, or George is like, get my book, get I'll find out. I'll find out what the root cause is.
Well, because if you think about it, everything that we are manifesting is meant to teach us and show us something. And so if we get an ache or a pain in our elbow, or we get a test result that tells us something's off, It is there to teach us. And when we bring it to our conscious awareness and we ask, why is this coming up? What is this trying to teach me? What is this bringing up? Then we can shift and clear it. There's many processes you can do this. There are, I have a number of like energy sessions I've recorded to help that are self-guided for people. But it is something as it can begin with something as simple as asking, how is this relate in my life? Like, go look up, like, what does it mean when you have a broken bone? Okay, it means this. So how is that relevant to my life right now? And then sometimes when you notice the pattern or you notice the reason, then the symptom can go away because the symptom's already brought it to your awareness and you go, okay, is this a real situation or is this just a perception? Mm-hmm. So everything is a lesson. Everything is a chance to learn. And so without getting into all the different techniques, because there's so many, I think the most important point is to see everything. Even if you stub your toe or you bump into a wall and you hurt your left elbow. Well, what does the left side of the body mean? Ooh, that's the feminine. Maybe I'm having a hard time receiving, or I'm mad at my mother and I haven't talked to her about it. You know, literally every little thing, there's no such thing as a coincidence.
No, I completely agree. And do you know what's really interesting? All of my symptoms are always on my left, because for so many years, I was so in my masculine, because I grew up in a household where my dad was the breadwinner. He went out to work. And I thought to myself, watching that as a young girl, to be successful, I need to work hard. I need to, you know, I need to go out. I need to hustle. I need to, you know, just always be on, right? And I neglected my feminine. And I almost saw that as weakness, right? Because I didn't grow up watching, you know, my mom. And it's just so interesting how, like, when I reflect, it's like, yeah, it was all to do with the left side of my body. But just having that awareness, that in itself was empowering, because I was like, right, well, that's something that I really need to tap into. And it is programming, because I think we do live in a society where, you know, as women, we're always kind of on the back foot, right? I do think that, you know, we don't get as many opportunities, and Pam and I have had many conversations on the podcast about this, and we've witnessed it firsthand, having a tech recruitment company, just how women are left out of big conversations. They're not getting the promotions, you know, because people are saying, oh, are you planning on having a family anytime soon? And like, this is unconscious bias that perhaps, you know, we're not even aware of. But I think it's important to start having these conversations, because as a woman myself, I am trying to lean into my feminine a bit more. I'm sort of learning to trust my intuition a bit more, and really sort of lean into the softer side instead of this frantic million miles an hour masculine energy that I've had throughout all of my 20s that actually caused me huge anxiety and mental health problems. So, and I think there'll be a lot of women probably listening to this right now that maybe can relate to that. You know, maybe they've gone, oh God, yeah, maybe I am. We live in a hustle culture. Like, how can we unwind this? Like, and what can we do as women to trust our intuition a bit more and really lean into our feminine? Because I think that's what the world needs right now. We need more feminine energy. The world is far out of balance at the minute. So yeah, any advice or thoughts on how women can really tap into their feminine?
Give yourself permission to, but what, even though you can give yourself permission to, many people don't know how to. No. If you think about it, we have been programmed deliberately to be in a matrix of distortion of both masculine and feminine energy. And we are right now witnessing a rise of divine masculine and divine feminine on the planet. Mm-hmm. That is really what we are shifting through with all of these challenges. But I mean, I can relate exactly to your comment about not being in my feminine. I was in my masculine. I was a star athlete. I was went to top colleges. I went and was in the business world, like, you know, go, 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 conquer, conquer, conquer. Emotions are weak. Like, don't be a wuss. Don't be a sissy. I mean, I got told that, and I'm even a girl, you know, as an athlete on the tennis court. I was like, you know, but the way that I think, first of all, everything always starts with the awareness, is how can I nurture my feminine side? So how to nurture your feminine side? Literally simple things like taking a bubble bath, turning on some music and dancing and getting the body moving. That is very feminine energy. It's very flowy. The whole intuition conversation is, it's a muscle you have to practice and start to trust and have some fun with it. But a lot of times for, I even told a male client of mine, because he was so in his masculine, and that I said, you need to go out and dance under the moonlight. Oh. And he was like, you've got to be kidding me. And I go, no, because you're so in your masculine right now. You've got to get into the flow and the receptivity, which can literally simply be moving your physical body, nurturing yourself, allowing yourself to take a nap when you're tired, and not letting the shoulds or the supposed tos tell you that, you know, you have too much on your to-do list, because that's a masculine trait. Mm-hmm. So the biggest gift is to listen to your inner voice and begin to trust her. And I guarantee you, she will not steer you wrong. Mm-hmm. It's how many times do you ignore your inner voice and then you get yourself in a pickle? Mm. Like, gosh, I should have listened to myself. I knew it. I knew I should have done that. Mm-hmm. So the more that we can listen, even when our logical mind or, you know, granted there's times we can't, but if we can listen to it, mm-hmm. because of circumstances, if we can listen mm-hmm. to it and then we get the good result, then we can pat ourselves in the back, be like, I knew what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And then you begin to trust her more. You begin to trust your guidance more, yeah, as opposed 100%. To doubting it. But a lot of it truly is to have the awareness.
Yeah. And you've touched upon so many good points there again. And I love that you've just recommended having some bubble baths. A bath is literally one of my favorite things to do. I step in a bath and I immediately feel myself just go, stress, just like I can feel the stress just immediately leaving my body. I absolutely love having a good bubble bath, and I love a good dance to some songs in the morning. I feel as though I find it very uplifting as well. But I think a really good point there as well is actually giving ourselves the time to really tap into our own intuition. Mm-hmm. In terms of the way that we all run our lives at the moment, we fill our lives with social media and picking up our phones and being on our laptops, that the challenge is actually finding the space in your day-to-day lives to actually check in with yourself. Mm-hmm. And one of the habits that I've created over the past 12 months is on a Sunday, there's quite a number of hours throughout the course of a Sunday that I'll actually have my phone on airplane mode. And on a Sunday, I actually feel as though my day is really long. And it's because I'm not just filling it with mindlessly scrolling or, you know, looking through social media and losing hours. You lose literal hours. And I find that just creating that one day of space on a Sunday has been really powerful for me to be able to sit and potentially have those moments where, oh my gosh, I don't have anything to do. So I'm actually just going to sit and let things come up. And I bought myself a journal a couple of months ago and just writing down a few things that come into my mind. And I feel as though it's just leaving you that space to actually get to know yourself a little bit better. So that was just one thing that I thought I would.
I love that, because that's all that space. Because that also is how you develop your intuition. Because if you're constantly in your masculine energy, go, 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 there's no space. You know those people that are like, they literally can't be in the car without turning on the radio? Yeah. Give yourself some silent thinking space. Because it is in those quiet moments when you slow down and you're present, you'll get your intuitive hits. Yeah. You'll get your, you know, your best ideas. You'll get the solution to the problem you haven't been able to figure out. If you're constantly on the move, you will not hear the voice of your inner feminine. And I have to tell you, Skye was just talking so much while you were speaking. I loved hearing her. Her little baby noises.
This podcast is going to be full of gurgles and gargles and oohs and ahs.
It's the best sound ever.
She
was lending her energy to the conversation.
She's finding her voice. I love it.
She knows how to use it. It took me 37 years.
Encourage that. Correct.
I love it.
Exactly.
Love it.
But Erica, I could honestly sit here and chat to you all day. This conversation has left me feeling just so warm and enlightened and just excited about having you. I want to just take a moment of pure gratitude, because I just feel like there's sometimes there's this alignment. There's these people that just come into your life, and I just instantly felt a connection to you when we first chatted about Zoom and we talked to you about the sisterhood and what we were trying to do, which is obviously amplifying women, elevating women, helping women find their voice, giving them the tools that they need to design their lives, which is very much in alignment with what you're trying to do. So I just want to take a moment to thank you for, you know, being here today, for having this wonderful conversation, for being in as part of our community. And I really want all of our women in the community to get to know you, to reach out to you. You know, so where can we send them for the women listening to this right now that want to get to know you more? Where can we send them?
You know what? Probably I have a number of YouTube channels. But I think the simplest thing is to go to my website, ericaelements.com. It is not a very well-developed, I give you the heads up. I do my own website. There's not a lot of like stuff on there, but if they want to get to know me, sign up for my Inner Circle, which is just a free membership where I send out updates and videos if they ever want to stay in touch to hear more about what I'm up to. They can go to my Erica Elmett's YouTube channel, and there's a link to all my other one. I have four YouTube channels right now, so you can kind of pick where it is that you like. But I'm so appreciative of this opportunity to really expand into this beautiful world of what you guys are doing, how you're helping to empower women. And I know for me it was the same thing. I was like, I don't even know what NFTs really are all about, but I'm like ready to, it was just like a big fat yes because of that resonance with what you guys are doing. And I'm looking forward to meeting more of the community and continuing to grow and evolve.
Well, beautiful. I'm sure when we launch, there's going to be lots of questions coming your way. So we are launching on the 23rd of September, and all of our sister holders will have access to your course. And I'm sure at that point, you'll be inundated with messages of women going, oh my God, I've just identified something. And well, can you help me here? So we'll definitely have to have you like maybe zoom in into our community or something, just so you can answer any questions that women have. And yeah, and let's raise the next generation. I think this is a big thing for me, like not being a parent, but wanting to have an impact on the younger generation. Is like they are the future, right? We need to be shaping these young, beautiful minds in a way, and like you say, giving the opportunity to be who they want to be, not who society tells them to be. Not if they don't want to go to university, that's cool. They want to leave school when they're 16, that's okay. Like, go and find yourself, go and have as many experiences as possible, go and just make some mistakes, fail as many times as you want to. Like, live your life for you, no one else. That is the key. That's what I want to say to any young being out there that is maybe feeling a bit lost. Like, who the hell knows what they want to do when they're a young kid, right? I didn't. But I'm sat here now running two businesses, you know, loving life, you know, but it took me, 34 years to get there, and I'm still figuring myself out, right? So it's okay to not to know what you want to do with your life and just be you. You know, that's the most powerful thing you can be, because you are unique and there's only one of you. So amazing conversation. Like I said, I could go on. I could just go on a tangent. But Erica, absolutely wonderful to have you here today. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so both. Much, and thank you, Sky, for being here too.
Thank you for having her. This is her debut.
I know I'm looking at you guys, but on the camera, but I keep staring at her and I'm just like, oh, so proud. Oh, so thank you guys again. Ages. And thank you for all of this. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thanks, Erica.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I really hope that you enjoyed it. And if you did, please give it a little share on your social. And if you have time, please leave a review. And I hope to see you next time. Take care.